My daughter Katie has a summer job on her college campus in Ohio this year. She's 21 now, so she's at the point where it feels quite normal to be 14 hours away from home all the time, but it's trickier for us to adjust to her absence. Last week, she flew to Los Angeles to attend a scientific meeting. She told us ahead of time that she would call a couple of times to let us know she was okay, but ended up being too busy meeting college friends from California and spending time with new acquaintances, and she forgot. I didn't mind. I was 21 once myself. Katie's ridden her bike around Lake Superior on a whim with two friends, spent a month in Europe on a whim with three friends, spending her own money that she'd saved up from a paper route and summer jobs, and handled enough other life experiences that I knew she'd be fine. Even if she depends on us for a few things still, she's getting well beyond the fledgling stage. Unlike my daughter, the downtown Duluth Peregrine Falcons aren't quite at the point where I don't have to worry about them. Since the Sunday adventures of number 78, who first landed on the top level of the casino parking lot and then ended up grounded in front of Graceland Plaza and spent the night at Dave and Molly Evans' house, I've been anxious about how all of them are faring as they test their wings for the first time. Tuesday, I saw only one of the babies, though I searched for well over an hour, and I was way more uneasy than I'd felt not hearing from Katie in Los Angeles. By the time I left work and headed to the parking lot roof yesterday, I was pretty anxious. And when I first arrived, the only baby I saw was the big female on the roof of the hotel, which I think was the same one that was there yesterday. I think that's number 78 because she was spending a lot of time preening one area on her upper breast where I'd noticed whitewash when I saw her at close range. The adult male was sitting in the nest box, perhaps reminiscing about the good old days when his babies were easy to keep track of right there, though really he's the parent I've seen many times repeatedly fly over the babies back and forth, trying to entice them to take to the sky. I scanned some other buildings and discovered the other two females on the roof of a building across Superior Street from the hotel. They're obviously being fed there. One was lounging flat on the roof, indolently, like someone watching football on the sofa after Thanksgiving dinner. She occasionally looked up at the other, who was perched on the corner of the building, preening. Then that one, too, flopped down to rest. I could see the feathery remains of a pigeon between them. So that was at least 3 out of 4, and because they were all big females, I was absolutely certain that number 78 was among them, even if I couldn't read any of their leg bands. But where was the little male? Male peregrines fledge earlier than their sisters because they're small and so quicker to fully develop. After about a half hour of watching the females and searching, I finally found him. He was on the roof of the old Masonic temple. I'm not sure whether he'd been there all along or flew in when I wasn't looking. His breast and belly feathers were very wet, so I wondered if he hadn't had something of an adventure pursuing something over the lake, but he's not talking. When Katie got back to Oberlin, she called us and told us about her adventures. These peregrines will never tell me, their parents, or anyone else anything. When I can't see them and don't hear from people who've spotted them, I have no idea what's happening with them. By the time they leave Duluth as expert flyers with the sense to keep their distance from people, the only way I'll ever know what happens to them is when someone gets a really good view of the number on a leg band, which happens most often when a bird is dead or badly injured. The very name peregrine means to wander widely, and just as I have to have faith and trust that my daughter knows what she's doing on her peregrinations, I'll have that same faith and trust in these babies as they wander through their lives. But for the coming days, I'll still keep a close watch on them. Production of For the Birds is made possible by support from KUMD and binoculars.com. I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.